I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is the Ultimate Sports Podcast.
And I'm Jake Robson. Here's what's coming up this week.
England have lost not one, but two key midfielders ahead of Euro 2012. How will that affect Roy Hodgson's men as they prepare to face Belgium at Wembley?
Liverpool have appointed Brendan Rodgers as the successor to Kenny Dalglish, but can he take the Reds back into the top four?
And one of racing's flagship events takes place on Saturday. Our man in the know, Charlie Owens, looks ahead to the Derby at Epsom. So England play their final Euro 2012 warm-up against Belgium at Wembley on Saturday. And ahead of that match, not only have they lost Gareth Barry to injury, but Frank Lampard as well, who's been ruled out with a thigh problem he picked up in training. He's been replaced in the squad by Liverpool's Jordan Henderson. Is this a major problem for Hodgson?
Well, it just gets better and better, doesn't it? I mean, I don't think it's a major problem because I'm not sure Lampard would have started, and I'm not convinced either that Jordan Henderson will play much of a part. If there are any more injuries, then it starts getting problematic, very problematic. I'm not sure that, as I said, that Lampard would have started. There's probably enough cover in there. I mean, if Scott Parker was injured, as was thought maybe earlier in the week, I think that would have been catastrophic with him and Barry out. But Lampard, I think, can be covered.
Well, Lampard, in theory, I suppose, could have played the deeper role that he's been playing at Chelsea in the latter half of the campaign. I suppose it depends what England choose to do in terms of their formation. If they do go with the kind of 4-4-2 that they employed in the previous warm-up game against Norway, I suppose, in theory, Parker and Gerrard might be that partnership, or maybe James Milner might be put in there as well.
Well, in a funny way, that might have forced Roy's hand back to 4-4-2, because I think there's a very good chance, as you say, that Lampard and Parker could have been those two deeper players, with Gerrard a bit further on with two wide men. Now I think he might well just stick with 4-4-2, as you said, with Gerrard and Parker in the middle.
This game against Belgium, obviously, having got that win in Norway, it wasn't the most impressive performance, but it was still a good result against a team that's picked up some decent wins at home of late. They beat France. I think they beat Portugal as well in Oslo in the qualifiers for Euro 2012. They only missed out on goal difference. So having picked up that win, it's important to keep that momentum going now, isn't it?
It is. I mean, not to put a dampener on it, but I'd say it just about showed where we're at. If you look at the other results over the weekend that Spain, Holland and Germany had, they all won well. And England won, but I wouldn't say, I mean, it was convincing, but it wasn't a good win. It wasn't a 2 or 3 goal margin.
Yeah.
I mean, take confidence going forward. I must say I'm very excited to see the new Chelsea signing, Eden Hazard, play for Belgium. That'll be exciting. But Belgium, you know, they're a good team as well. They've got some Premiership players in their squad as well.
Yeah, players we'd know were Vincent Kompany, obviously, at Manchester City. Thomas Vermaelen at Arsenal as well. Marouane Fellaini as well, the Everton midfielder, who I think has had a very good season again. Interesting you mentioned some of the other major nations. They've done well in midweek, but Holland and Germany, obviously, last weekend. I think Holland lost at home to Bulgaria, which was a major shock, and Germany were beaten 5-3 by Switzerland. Can we take too much from the results of these games at the moment?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I think we probably can. I mean, they don't want to be losing games at this stage. It maybe shows a little bit where they're at as well. It's good, you know, not long to go before Euro 2012. They didn't field particularly weakened teams. If they're getting beaten at this stage, they're not going to be happy with that. And that must be a big disruption to their plans. Having said that, it'll probably mean that they, you know, well, they came back stronger midweek with some decent wins. Probably going forward, makes them stronger, I reckon.
We talked about midfield. Up front, there were some good signs, I thought, with Andy Carroll and Ashley Young. Young kind of deployed as a second striker behind Carroll. That looks as though that's the way he's going to go. Danny Welbeck still not totally fit. And obviously Wayne Rooney out for the first couple of games, so that will be a decision to make come the third game. But that looks like the pairing he's going to start with, doesn't it?
Well, this is the thing. If Lampard was fit, perhaps not. Perhaps Gerrard would have done that role, and maybe Young would have gone wide. Now, yeah, absolutely. And as I mean, who's going to be on the right? It's probably going to be, well, I hope it's Theo Walcott, to be honest. And then on the left, I guess that leaves a place for Stuart Downing. I think Milner will probably just miss out. I mean, he should miss out theoretically because he's not a wide man and England should play with two wide men.
Well, I wonder now with Milner whether he'll be used because they have this scarcity of central midfielders. It's important to keep Milner in reserve for a central midfield berth if he needs to. So I imagine Milner may well come on with fresh legs in midfield towards the end of games, maybe. I think he's a very dependable player. He can play wide. I mean, he played wide for several seasons for Newcastle and for other clubs as well. But yeah, he's not a specialist wide man. I take the point that he's definitely not a specialist wide man. And just finally on England, before we move on, defensively, I mean, obviously the goalkeeper, we know it's going to be Joe Hart. We've talked about the strikers. Midfield, he's going to have a bit of a rejig. But defensively, that central pair, there seems to be a feeling among a lot of England fans that it should be John Terry and Gary Cahill because of the performances they put in for Chelsea towards the end of the season. Would you go along with that?
I would go along with that. Firstly, they've played together at club level. Secondly, I think John Terry's nailed on to start anyway, so I think it's then who do you go with from there. And I think the number two choice to Cahill, if he starts, would probably be Lescott.
Yeah.
So why not go with Cahill? I mean, there's not much to choose between the two, and then you've got that added thing that they play together at club level. Just one thing before we finish. I think it's also a shame about Lampard not playing, not only because it's probably his last England international, I think, but I think it would have been interesting to see if they could have worked out with Gerrard and Lampard together with maybe a holding player, perhaps what they should have done for all these years,
yeah,
and maybe got the best out of the two of them. It's a shame now we won't see how that could have developed.
No, we'll never see if Lampard and Gerrard could ever work together properly. Let's move away from the international game to the domestic game. Liverpool have made a major signing. They've appointed Brendan Rodgers as the successor to Kenny Dalglish. He's arrived from Swansea City. After a long, drawn-out recruitment process, Liverpool have finally got their man. There are some reports that claim that Brendan Rodgers was the man they wanted all along. He didn't want to be part of a 12-man shortlist, but as soon as he realised that he was in for the job, he was willing to speak to Liverpool. Is he the right man for the job?
Well, I mean, it's difficult because you'd say what he's done with Swansea has been very, very impressive. He's got all the credentials. He's a young manager. You know, he's not sort of too far removed from today's game. He's been right in the thick of things with Swansea. He's brought them up. So he should, in theory, be a good appointment. Liverpool needs someone like him. Get the ball down and play, pass the ball around. There's only one reservation I have for Brendan Rodgers, and that's nothing to do with him, but he had one very good season with Swansea in the Premier League. I would have been perhaps inclined to see him maybe have one more season once maybe teams have worked out Swansea, just to see where he goes from there, because if he takes a similar style of play with that he did with Swansea into Liverpool, maybe teams will be a bit more prepared.
Yeah, I take the point. I think the thing is, he will have better players to work with. And I think what's important about Brendan Rodgers is he has total belief in that system, in building from the back, in keeping possession, and attacking with pace. I think he'll have players at Liverpool who'll be a dream to work with as regards that. He's got some very good ball-playing defenders. Daniel Agger is excellent with the ball at his feet. Skrtel is no slouch either when it comes to, you know, distribution from the back. Steven Gerrard, obviously, will be great to work with as well. I think Liverpool at this stage, where the club's at, I think they need a young manager with fresh ideas. I don't think a more established choice would have been the way to go, because if you're going to do that, you might as well keep Kenny Dalglish. I think it needed a change. I think he has some great ideas about the game. He thinks very deeply about the game. He's willing to go that extra mile to learn about the game. He's spent time with Pep Guardiola at Barcelona, learning about his methods. He spent time with Vicente del Bosque in the Spanish setup, learning about what they do. You know, this is a guy who's willing to learn. He's very similar to Mourinho. He's a proper disciple of Mourinho, of course. He worked under Mourinho at Chelsea. Mourinho's given him a glowing kind of recommendation, and I'm not surprised. You know, I've interviewed him a couple of times this season, and I've been very impressed. He speaks very eloquently. I think that's also an element. I've said this quite consistently in the past few weeks about Liverpool. as much as Kenny Dalglish is a legend at the club and as revered as he is, I actually think he did the club some harm over the past season. I think his attitude to the media was poor, and he did the club no favours. The Suarez thing was a complete disaster from start to finish. And I think from a PR sense, Liverpool do need somebody who will build bridges with the media and represent the club well.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the bit you say about Suarez and with the media, the two's kind of linked together. It was, you know, it was 20, 25 years out of date, certainly in how to handle the media.
Yeah.
Sort of after every game and in press conferences. It's just not the way it's done anymore. You know, as I say, you could get away. That was what they did, I suppose, 20, 25 years ago, before TV was such a big, important role in the game. I think he hasn't really moved on.
What's interesting is I watched an old video of Dalglish when he announced his resignation first time around, and he was just as miserable and as dour then as he is now. And as you say, that kind of relationship with the media doesn't work so well anymore because you have to represent the club well. Let's move on to racing, because racing fans have a mouth-watering event to look forward to on Saturday. It's the Derby at Epsom, and who better to look forward to it for us than our man in the know, Charlie Owens.
Thanks, Kev. And the feature race of the weekend is without a shred of doubt the Epsom Derby run on the Saturday. It's run over a mile and a half. It's just for three-year-olds. It's one of the classics of the season and has attracted one of the smallest fields I can remember in my lifetime. Just 9 runners. Now, 2 of those 9 runners come from the Aidan O'Brien yard. O'Brien trains in Ireland. He's just won the Epsom Oaks with a filly called Was, so the stable's in great form. Now, of his 2 horses, one's called Astrology, who recently won the Dee Stakes. That's run at Chester. He'll be ridden by Ryan Moore. But the other one is this strongly fancied Camelot. He's going to go off, I'm sure, odds on to win this year's Derby, having won the 2,000 guineas at Newmarket. Now, the 2,000 guineas is run over a mile, but Camelot is really bred to stay a mile and a half. We expect him to come on in leaps and bounds for this step up in trip. Now, I have listened to Aidan O'Brien talk about his horses countless times over the last 7 or 8 years, but I have never heard him gush as much about horse as he does about Camelot. Have a listen.
Oh, yeah, no, he's very good, very relaxed, very straightforward. He was always a very exciting horse from, obviously, day one. I think the world was taught of him, and all the way along he was just one of those very special horses. As we saw in the guineas, you know.
Camelot will be ridden by Aidan O'Brien's son, Joseph. And it's quite interesting that you have to go back as far as 1846 to find the last successful father-son combination in the Epsom Derby. So there's an interesting stat there which may be broken. But let's have a look at some of the opponents. Andrew Balding, who's never had a runner in the Derby before. Of course, his father did. He won it back in 71 with Mill Reef. Well, he's got a pair in this one. He's got an outsider, probably around about the 100-to-1 mark, called Minimise Risk. But the main threat of his pair, that's going to come via a horse called Bonfire, who recently won the Dante Stakes at York. He has been called a few names in the past. They suggested he might have the odd quirk or two, but the jockey who rode him in the Dante Stakes and who'll be riding him in the Derby itself is Jimmy Fortune, and he won't hear any complaints about this horse.
There's too much hype going on about this horse's temperament. You know, he's perfectly fine. He's a jack the lad. He likes to do things his own way, but in no way does he worry or get upset. He's very genuine. He's actually a very easy ride when he's got something to follow, but there's a lot of good horses like him that, you know, have little quirks about them.
Apart from Aidan O'Brien, there's only one other trainer with a runner in this year's race that's actually won the Derby before. That's John Gosden. He won it back in 1997 with a horse called Benny the Dip. This year his runner is a horse called Thoughtworthy. He's not been too impressive in his wins to date, but he still has this workmanlike attitude, which in a race which can sometimes be quite rough, as a Derby sometimes can be, those assets of determination and grit can see you in good stead.
This horse will come here, he's in good order, he'll stay the trip. The hill might be a bit of a question to him. It can be a rough old race down the hill. You've got to have a bit of luck in running it, you know. But it's a great race, you want to be part of it, and the owner is a great sportsman, owner breeder, ridden a lot himself, and he's game for it.
And Thoughtworthy may appeal to those who like an each-way stab. He'll be round about the 16-to-1 mark. He'll be ridden by William Buick. Another horse that wants a closer consideration, has each way potential, is Main Sequence, who's trained by David Lanigan. And this is also David Lanigan's first ever runner in the Derby. His jockey's going to be Ted Durkin. But Main Sequence is a very likeable sort, and I could really see him running a decent race at around about the 10-1 mark if he gets luck in running. Here's what David Lanigan has to say.
We've gone through the trials and we've earned our right to be there, but the Derby is never a penalty kick. There's a lot of very good horses in there, and it's a very difficult course. You know, horses either act on it or they don't act on it, and you never know until you actually get in the race.
Well, that was David Lanigan. Not exactly oozing confidence, but I do expect his horse to run quite well, given a bit of luck in running. So we've had a look at several of the key contenders for this year's Derby. Camelot is obviously the eye taker in terms of the current anti-post market. As I said, he's odds on shot, and he's the horse with the best breeding on offer. However, I'm going to go the way of Bonfire with a little each way chance. I think he's guaranteed to make the frame, and if things don't go right for Camelot, he could be the one to take advantage.
Okay, that's all from Charlie, from Jake, and from myself. It's goodbye for now, and we'll see you next week.